If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal of ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back, ladies and gentlemen, for another visit on a Tuesday afternoon. Hello, George. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, Mark. Good afternoon. I'm so glad to be back.
He sends topics over every Tuesday, and I love the topics, but I'm going to do something a little different. Oh. I'm going to do topsy-turvy on you because your bonus topic is the one that interests me the most because I have a pet peeve for it here in the city of St. Louis. Sue, how many times have I complained about sitting on 14th Street, in particular, in front of the stupid bus station?
A lot.
And nobody going through the lights, and we're just sitting there. So, George, your topic is the evolution of smart traffic signals. Ooh. Please give me some hope.
Yes. Oh, have we been talking about this for years or what? I cannot wait. And now, of course, you know, St. Louis City is not exactly the most fast to get to going.
No.
So who knows when this is going to be installed. So I'm sure this will be out in the county or over in Illinois before we see it in downtown, which I really hope we see it in downtown. But these are smart traffic lights, obviously using AI, using all kinds of different sensors that are put on them. But instead of having a traditional traffic light, if you don't know, there's a big green box that sits at every intersection, and there's basically just a timer. Mm-hmm. And it just says, lights go for this amount of time, and this during this time of day, and then it fluctuates. This is no box with a timer. So this is AI saying, okay, on Tuesdays in July, the traffic is a lot lighter at this intersection because people are on vacation. So let's have a longer green on this road versus the other road. And then it automatically adjusts and says, well, okay, so I was wrong. This day is actually pretty busy. Let's automatically adjust and analyze the vehicle flow, analyzes the pedestrian flow. It's looking at weather conditions and analyzing if it's raining, if it's dry, if the sun is setting and the sun is in people's eyes on a westbound lane.
That matters.
It totally matters. It takes into effect everything around it and everything the drivers are experiencing in order to make the lights easier on everyone. And I cannot wait for this world.
I can't either because I can't tell you how much, you know, I know it's part of driving and everything, but the most frustrating thing is sitting at a light and not having that light turn and there's nobody going through the other way. There's just nobody at all. And that happens downtown
a lot. And
then
you got to ask your conscience, are you going to sneak through or are you not going to sneak through?
Well, and guess where my conscience has been?
Oh, boy.
I'm sneaking
right in front of the bus station. I'm so tired of it. You know, it's one thing that should not be that hard to fix.
Agreed.
Because if buses are pulling out, the light should be longer. If buses aren't there,
and they
90%
rarely
of the time, that light is ridiculous. And it's set for that same timer. Yeah. It's just dumb.
And can we all get it out in the public now since we're live on the air? Those little strips of lines that are next to the white line, those are for a purpose, everyone. Please pull your vehicle over them so that the sensor can sense you are there. The people that do not pull forward to the white line and the sensors do not sense you're there. It's a magnetic strip built into the concrete. If you don't pull over that all the way, you may just sit there a little longer.
Okay, George, Sue remembers this, and Fred, they were horrified when this happened. So there's an intersection by my house. It's actually coming out of Merrimack Station. There's a fast lane there in Sugar Fire at 141 and 44. And if you're coming out of that, you're turning left, which would be north onto 141. There's two lanes that turn there. A couple years ago, I'm sitting in the left-hand lane, and there's someone in front of me that is not even close to being pulled up to the sensor.
Oh, and the person, that would drive me crazy.
Well, but then the person in the right-hand side was the same thing. So I literally got out of my car. I scared the living daylights out of this old woman. Mm. And I'm like, look, you got to pull up here a little bit. She jumped, like, out of her seat, but I didn't know what else to do because we had sat through a light cycle. I'm like, I'm not doing this again.
Oh, no. Yeah, you have to do something at that point.
Well, I did, and it was frowned upon by my colleagues.
You
but
don't get out of the car.
I know. I do stupid things, Sue. What can I tell you?
Yeah,
all right, speaking of stupid things, one topic you have here is the death of the dumb object. Talk about that, George.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yes, I'm so excited about this. I know my son and daughter who love Legos, they will certainly love this. But let's just start with toys, and then we're going to move into some cool other things like TVs and such. But Lego is making they're turning Lego dumb plastic blocks into smart AI blocks. Of course, any block that's bigger than a 2x4. So, you know, the little notches on top, you got 2 across and 4 long. You're going to have a sensor, multiple sensors in there, from gyroscopes to accelerometers to AI understanding and talking to other Lego chips, so that when you build something, it knows what you're building and it knows what other pieces are nearby, and turn on lights that are built into the bricks. They can synthesize their own sounds. So little characters, Lego characters, can have a gun sound on a cowboy. But then if you take the hat off and you take the outfit off, the outfit then changes the character to be whatever sounds and voices that you've made it into. So it's completely interactive. You're basically turning Lego into an interactive playset without having to do anything, because you're just charging up a few bricks that then talk to each other, and it makes the Lego piece completely come to life. That is going to be fascinating. I cannot wait for that as well. Appliances, though. This is stuff we talked about when I was in Vegas at CES. Mm-hmm. And LG is releasing it. I cannot wait. So exciting. You're talking about stoves that talk to the refrigerator. The refrigerator is, of course, full AI with sensors and cameras. And when you pull something out of the fridge, okay, well, let me back up. Let's just say this. The refrigerator is so smart to know that between 6:30 in the morning and 7:15, when everybody's getting ready for school, the door is open 6 times every morning on average. So before 6:15, let's super cool the refrigerator so that when the door is open 6 times, it doesn't get warm right away. That's the first thing you'll start doing. Then you pull out the breakfast burrito. It automatically realizes you've pulled the breakfast burrito out through cameras and sensors, tells the microwave to get ready for whatever is going to coming next. And when the burrito goes into the microwave, it senses it through cameras. It knows that, automatically sets the time and starts cooking the breakfast burrito. Then let's say it's dinner time and you pull out some food. It knows you're about to bake something or you're going to put something on the stovetop. It will talk to the stove. And when you're ready, you just tell the stove that you're ready to cook, and it just turns everything on to the exact temperature it's supposed to be.
Dang.
Because the appliances know everything about the food you're about to cook.
So,
wow,
okay.
George.
That's kind of cool and everything, but that, man, that sounds like you're making me stressed out just talking about the tech helping me in my house. Like, I have this relatively new washer and dryer, and there is a function on there where I can use the app, and I haven't even tried it yet because I'm even intimidated by that. But you're taking, this is like 100 steps beyond that.
Oh, yeah. This is 100 steps beyond that. It's getting to the point where your washing machine will watch what you put in it. And based on the textures, because it's looking with a camera, a very high definition camera, if you put a towel in that's got a different viscosity or different threads than a shirt, it knows what you're putting in, automatically changes the cycle, the times, will distribute the soap, everything automatically. The whole point of this is getting to a way that you have less stress based on the amount of buttons you're pushing, the amount of times you're supposed to remember, the amount of energy that you're using in your refrigerator, so that everything is prepared and working for you and not just being a dumb item. It's genuinely going to change the way we live our daily lives in our house.
How far away do you think that is, George?
Oh, this has been released now. LG is coming out with this in September. So
of course it is.
The smart dishwasher. Yes, all of these appliances are coming out this year. They talked about it at CES in Vegas, and I didn't think it was going to be this fast, but the really wild one that I cannot wait for myself personally is the LG wallpaper television.
I saw that. What is that? So right now you have the kind that look like picture frames, right?
Yeah, artwork, right?
Yeah, artwork. So this is beyond that.
Yes, this is beyond that. So imagine, we've been so used to a TV being a box. Of course, in the 70s, previous to that, of course, giant cabinet, full big giant glass tube. Now you've got this big obtrusive looking thing hanging on your wall. You know, it can be up to 100 plus inches on your wall of giganticness. This is going away in the way that the resolution's even better than a regular TV, but it's wallpaper, which means that it's only 9 millimeters thick. So it's the depth of a pencil, and they figured out a way to get rid of all the cables and do everything through wireless 4K lossless transfer. So a box that sits in your house up to 30 feet away. Now imagine you tell the manufacturer, I've got a wall that is 25 feet by 10 feet tall, and you get the wallpaper TV, and it takes up your whole wall. But there's no cables. It blends into the drywall.
What?
And the thing that's controlling it can be up to 30 feet away, and it's streaming. And when I mean lossless, I mean perfect definition 4K video being broadcast across the living room instead of a cable. I mean, it's from a technological standpoint, I've always wanted to get rid of cables, and this is the beginning of it.
Wow.
This is where you're getting rid of cables in your living room. You're putting a TV the size of a car on your wall, and then you're able to do whatever you want with it through your voice, through AI. I just cannot wait for the new TV.
But
it's going to be really cool.
Like, when we're talking about like a time for that to evolve, that's going to take a little while. For people,
okay,
don't
so
you think?
LG just rolled out their W6. If you look it up, it's a W6 OLED wallpaper TV.
How much?
And it's out.
How much?
So just like everything else, when the first, remember the first plasma TV came out, they were $10,000?
Yeah.
These are about $40,000.
Yeah.
Woo!
I guess my point, you know what's interesting about TVs? Because there was a period when we finally got rid of the tube TVs that were super heavy. And I remember, I still had one of those when I was living in the city.
Yeah.
So this was probably around 2008 or so when I first got my first flat screen. But then there was this period where, you know, you were buying bigger and better. Okay, 55-inch to 65-inch. And then 10 years ago, I have an 85-inch television in my basement. It still looks great. The one upstairs. So most of us have not had to replace TVs because they still look fantastic with HD, even if they're like 10 years old. Now, this may put something new into the equation where people start to rebuy TVs. But most people, I think, have been pretty settled on their TVs for a while.
Yeah, I think this will take some time. This will be what I would consider to be a generational electronics change.
Exactly.
To where my children who are, you know, 12 and 14, they're going to grow up. And by the time they're adults paying bills, they may have a wallpaper TV on a house that's already there.
Have no doubt.
Or by that time, the prices are going to be down to what you would buy an 85-inch TV now. So eventually that's going to come down. It's like the old plasma TVs. And everybody was like, I'm not paying $10,000 for a TV. And 5 years later, it was $1,000.
Right.
So that is going to change as well. But the other thing that I'm really excited about in the TV world is the 3D TV without glasses.
So how does that work?
Whoa.
So there is a bezel built into the screen, and there is a sensor that is tracking everyone's pupils.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the room.
What?
I'm not kidding. It's eyeballing you from across the room and looking at your pupils. And as your pupils move, even if there's multiple people in the room, it will change the bezels of how the pixels are displayed to make it appear as if it's three-dimensional, but it's not.
Okay, listen to me. We're out of time, and this is fascinating.
Gosh.
So will you put that one on the topics for next Tuesday?
Yes.
Because I want to explore that more. But we got to wrap right now. Throttlenet.com. Awesome as usual. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.